The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show.
This looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me, because we need a little controversy.
If you're not a banker, if you're not a inside government criminal, there isn't one aspect of your life that is better under this idiot. Joe Biden always was a fool, but he was a loyalist to government supremacy. And this is my real mission here on this show. I don't ever want to become somebody who tells you you are a Republican, support the Republicans, because I have a Newt Gingrich clip that I'm going to play that'll prove there are very few good ones. Very few. This is an idea that our lives are being backdoor nationalized. This is what I want you to focus on. And they only really win if you give up your principles and you listen to the party that tells you to compromise those principles. So Mike Johnson, of course, he's not going to resign. Mike Johnson is the perfect vehicle to put the nail in the coffin of Americanism. The whole time, like all those Tea Party scumbags, like Joe Walsh, who used to be behind this microphone, like Adam Kinzinger, like all of those people who promised us for over 14 years they were going to do something. They did nothing but became millionaires. And that's the game. And I've got numerous clips. I love these days. I mean, I love them because the government is actually open and there's a lot of things going on, a lot of things in Congress that reveal why we're in this predicament. And it's always about the kind of corruption, tax-free government-enriched corruption that a very few Americans and lobbyists share in the grand scheme of 300 and now with the illegal alien problem. What do we got, 370 million? We don't know. But make no mistake about it, that is the plan. Because there is nobody that is ever going to convince me, this moron, Joe Biden, this absolute buffoon, received 14 million more votes than Barack Obama. There is absolutely no way.
You know, thanks to the mayor, I was going to talk about the old mayor.
He can't talk anymore. So he goes up there. They put these giant screens, these teleprompters. They are 3 feet from dementia face Joe. 3 feet. He can't get the stupid look off his face. He can't even say where he's from.
My grandfather would tell me when I walked out the door in North Washington Avenue in Scranton.
I mean, this is a Benny Hill skit. It's a Saturday Night Live. And by the way, it goes downhill from this. He tries to tell a joke. See, when you have dementia, you start to really act like a child that doesn't pay attention. So they try to teach him this new joke. Here's his big delivery.
Just the other day, a defeated-looking guy came up to me and asked if I could help. He was drowning in debt. I said, I'm sorry, Donald, but I can't help you. You know,
it's interesting. The difference between you, me, everybody you know that's honest, not the Democrat scum. Believe me, don't confuse them with us. Donald Trump and Joe Biden is we made our money. Donald Trump inherited money, but he also made money. Joe Biden has never actually made money, but he's worth tens of millions of dollars. And that reminds me of how they got here. And they got here in a very scandalous way.
And here's what I'm trying to figure out. I just want to know who really runs the Energy Department. Is it you, or is it the mega corporations whose stock that you own that you're making profits in?
Oh my goodness.
Or maybe it's the foreign billionaires who fund your conferences. Let's try something else. Do you know the names of the foreign billionaires who fund the conferences you go to? Since you don't know the stocks, do you know the names of the foreign billionaires?
This is unbelievable to me.
Josh Hawley is questioning Jennifer Granholm.
Jennifer Granholm is a political whore and separates her value from her husband, who's an inside real scumbag. He's a lobbyist hybrid. He pretends to operate think tanks. He sits on boards of businesses. He does all these things, and they're worth tens of millions of dollars. And that is because they have found the pathway to legal corruption.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Madam Secretary, nice to see you again. When you were here last, I talked with you about the fact that more than 130 officials in the Energy Department reported more than 2,700 trades of shares, bonds, and options in companies that ethics officers said was directly related to the agency's work. This is institutionalized corruption. And I asked you point blank, do you own any individual stock? And you told me, no. Let's just look at it. It was not a difficult question. Do you own individual stocks, Madam Secretary? You said no. In fact, you repeated it three times to me.
Now, the reason that I play this on these days is because life for us is very difficult. In fact, it has a hint of feudalism, especially when you factor in income taxes and the other hidden tax. The drastic rise of our costs, the businesses that are fleeing. I was going to open with Tesla laying off people, but then again, I could have opened with Macy's closing 150 stores, Target 247 stores. I could have led with all of the ways in which the numbers that say retail sales are up are because we have less and less options. But that is the goal of the government, because in the controlled demolition of private business, they're on the inside stealing on the survivors, on their cohorts of corruption. That's what we're experiencing. And by the way, it's absolutely and totally intended. Because in another room, a Republican who owned a gun shop, who was not in politics, he's like me and you, his name is Andrew Clyde, was questioning Chicago Olinsky Democrat scum, Ferret Face Garland. And it all is revealed to you as what you're going to hear. I want you to keep in mind, Secretary Mayorkas is a former board member of this very company that's advertising illegal voting. So they make sure they keep this scam in place.
Attorney General Garland, do you believe that illegal aliens residing in the United States should be allowed to vote in federal elections? Yes or no?
No.
All right. Great. We agree on something. Other than U.S. citizens, are there any other legitimate voters?
You have to be a U.S. citizen to vote in federal
You must
election.
Be a U.S. citizen. Okay, great. All right. I ask unanimous consent to add this to the record, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, sir. This is a poster found in the city, outside the city of Matamoros. It was posted around the migrant camps.
That is a city in Mexico, the cartel front, posing as a country that can't feed its own people, so they ship them here. I want you to listen to what it says on the bottom of the contract. The company, the non-government organization, had a board member who is now Secretary Mayorkas.
And it is a poster from HIAS, the Immigrant Aid Society. And this particular poster says the Resource Center is a six-unit complex that is home of HIAS. And at the very bottom, it says, reminder to vote for President Biden when you are in the United States. We need a
reminder to vote for President. This is all set up. And when you understand, it's not just Jennifer Granholm. It's not just Ferret Face Garland. It's the control of $10 trillion now spent by state, federal, and local governments as they bankrupt and destroy the principle of our currency, which guarantees 100 years of feudalism for me and you, the honest people. It's like being, I don't know, an honest businessman in Chicago.
Another year of your mandate to stay open. That's what this poster says. Reminds illegal immigrants to vote for President Biden. So, is the Department of Justice concerned about illegal aliens voting in federal elections?
The Department of Justice is concerned about any illegalities with respect to voting. I've never seen that poster. I've never heard of that poster.
Because you didn't want to. Because you're a beneficiary of the government corruption that unfortunately today, in the year 2024, is a systemic problem in all government bureaucracies, because we've allowed these whores to politicize government agencies we pay for. So when you see the kangaroo court Make no mistake about it. Trump will be found guilty. The question is, what happens when they try to put him in prison? And the answer is people will be distracted from the fact we have tens of millions of illegal aliens that are being taught and cultivated to vote and cheat. We have dead names on rolls in very key areas. The polls don't matter. There isn't anybody dumb enough who's honest, dumb enough to vote for this pathetic excuse of a man.
I think I should go home now. Except I'm already home.
Yeah. You don't know where you are, you freaking moron. By the way, he can't walk anymore. He looks like the first generation of those Boston robotic robots. Either that or some drunk with a book on his head. I can't figure it out until you remember the clips when he was vice president. Under the first traitor to Americanism, although he could speak in full sentences, very charismatic, but also a traitor. And now the controlled demolition of America is in phase three of the Obama terms.
An unrelenting stream of immigration. Nonstop. Folks like me who were Caucasian of European descent, for the first time in 2017, will be in an absolute minority in the United States of America. Absolute minority. Fewer than...
Don't be distracted by race. The reason that it's easier to cultivate people from El Salvador, from Venezuela, from communist countries and socialist countries is they understand how to play the political corruption. They were bred into it. They are good, loyal slaves. And they want to be, for the most part.
50% of the people in America, from then and on, will be white European stock. That's not a bad thing.
In the meantime, I want you to understand who Joe Biden used to be back before the aneurysms and the dementia started kicking his ass like the Israelis are kicking the Palestinians' ass.
We must stem the flow of drugs into our border and across our borders. This bill increases by one-third the current level of funding for interdiction at the border, including...
Squirrel, can you believe it's the same guy? Listen to the sentences and whatnot.
Increased funding for Coast Guard and Customs Service personnel, which I might add, over the last 6 years have been cut. We've talked about a war on drugs, and we have cut, not increased, cut the number of people we, in fact, say are supposed to be the ones at the bridge, blocking the enemy from crossing the river into our territory.
Woo! Same guy! Before the dementia, aneurysms, and corruption. Because he knows full well what is involved. He also knows what's at stake, which is why he's telling you everything is fantastic.
I've already cut the federal deficit. You know, all the stuff I talk about what we've done, and I'm going to be self-serving a little bit. Objective alternative point.
Yes, Squirrel, it is the same guy. I know he sounds like he got kicked in the head by a horse, but it's still the same guy.
It's out. We've had the most successful economy of any major economy in the world so far. A lot more to do.
Most successful economy of any economy in the world. Wrong. When you compare yourself against dwarfs, you're a tall person. That's not the case. The only reason that people even tolerate this is because he understands how to cut them in. He understands how to enrich them. In the same way, Jennifer Granholm understands how to enrich them. That's why Nikki Haley also goes and works for major corporations. It's the same on the other side. They just have double-stitched clothing.
No, no, no. Turns out that was false. You did own multiple individual stocks. And you neglected to report it to this committee for months afterwards. Why did you mislead this committee?
Oh, my goodness.
That was exactly my response. So why did
Senator,
you mislead this committee?
I believed that I had sold all individual stocks. And I was incorrect. So I came back.
So you just don't know your portfolio?
Pretty much.
It's a big one, I guess, huh?
No, it's extremely small.
How many of you are worth $8 million? And that's aside from your spouse, because her spouse, if they add their money together, they'll make Nancy Pelosi blush. And the whole time, what did she ever do? Nothing but steer trillions and trillions of dollars to companies she had an interest in, which is illegal if this country had any laws they didn't want to use as weapons against challengers.
Apparently not. Someone manages it for you?
So I came back as soon as I found out that, in fact, I had not sold all individuals.
Wait. No, that's not true either. Let's just look at the timeline. Let's not. I just remind you, you're under oath. Madam Secretary, you
That's an oaths taken by people with no character, with no conscience, mean nothing. That's why the Democrats, when they take oaths, it means nothing.
Testified you didn't own any individual stocks. You didn't sell the stocks for a whole nother month. And after you sold the stocks, you waited another month before you informed this committee. Why did you mislead us and what were you hiding? Why did you wait so long? Why did you hide this?
I did not hide it because I brought it forth to the committee when I realized that we had made a mistake.
Really? What explains the delay? Why did you wait for a full month to explain your actions to this committee, false testimony?
That's less than a month, and I sent a letter explaining what had happened.
May the 15th to June the 9th.
Because I owned a Ford stock that was...
You misled this committee, and you wait. What were the stocks? What were the stocks that you owned?
It was a Ford stock that my husband had owned.
Notice how she says, a stock. Oh, you mean it was one share? Not even close.
Since he was very young, and I just was not aware of it.
And what?
He was on the board. He was a consultant. He was an insider who had options and more than just stocks. He didn't pay for them. They were handed to him because he could deliver policy.
What were the others? You sold six stocks. What were the other five?
I sold non-conflicting stocks.
What were they?
I don't even know. I do know the Ford one because that was a conflict.
You don't.
That's why I raised this.
You're here before this committee a year later after actively misleading to us, after denying and delaying and delaying, and now you won't tell us. Was one of them Proterra?
No.
You sat on the board of directors at Proterra. You made millions, CNN reports, and stock options at Proterra. Then you
remember that name, Proterra, because your tax dollars are going to Proterra. This is the inside trading fraud that happens on a daily basis in Washington, D.C., and in your local area, too. Because it's like the money they pretend, the corruption trickles down. That's why the local scumbag mayors all have inside information as well. 312-642-5600.
Make money, smoke cigars, and live free on The Sean Thompson Show on AM 560, The Answer. AM 560. The Answer.
Tell me lies. Tell me sweet little lies.
Oh, did you say lies?
Tell me lies.
All right, let's go to this spokes idiot, because Joe Biden can't speak for himself anymore. So he has his spokes idiot. Now, of course, not qualified at all. In fact, she got the job because she's a lesbian. But I love the way she lies to me.
Inflation has been a stubborn concern for a lot of Americans. Does the president think that his tax plans will... help alleviate some of those concerns by, pulling more taxes from the wealthy.
So the president's tax cuts for working families and the middle class are fully paid for by making billionaires and big corporations pay for their share, fair share.
Their fair share. Well, here's what millionaires and billionaires do who actually own stores. They see you coming and they close the stores.
About a million LA County households don't have enough to eat. That's according to data from the University of Southern California.
And now those same experts worry the closure of the 99-cent stores will make things even tougher. NBC4's Amber Frias went into the community today to find...
Now, who shops at a 99-cent store? Does a millionaire? Does a billionaire? Does somebody who makes more than $400,000 a year, do they often shop at a 99-cent store? Who really pays the cost of these... What is it, 340 stores, whatever it is, all closing in the dark of night?
And how many families actually rely on that bargain store chain?
At a time when many struggle to afford groceries, the closure of 99-cent only stores is a financial blow to families like Maria's.
It's una pena que 99 cents se vaya.
We met Maria at a 99-cent only store in Maywood. We wanted to see how she and other shoppers are able to...
Yeah, it's like the Maywood in Illinois squirrel. It's run by the same Democrats. It's the same squalor and hopelessness and feudalism where you can't find a grocery store or a 99-cent store anymore.
Stretch their tight budgets by shopping at the bargain store. She took us through the aisles loading her cart with fruits, vegetables, milk, and a pack of tortillas.
Para mí es una de las mejores tiendas que hay.
Pagué 16.
Maria ended up
up spending $16.90 for two bags of groceries.
After we wanted to see just how much she was saving, so we visited two other grocery stores and picked some of the same items. We got a pack of tortillas, a melon, a pack of strawberries, a 3-pound bag of potatoes, and also a gallon of milk.
Here's what our total looked like at every store. $11.39 at 99-cent only store, $14.95 at grocery outlet, and $17.96 at Ralph's.
Now, $5 when you have a $50 budget is 10%. She's not a millionaire. She's not a billionaire. But she's paying the taxes of allowing the dimwit and diaper to drive businesses out of the country. Because that's what he's doing. Because millionaires and billionaires, they'll wait this idiot out. Kevin, LaPorte, Indiana.
Hey. Nice to talk to you. I just wanted to say, first of all, I'm new to listening, but I listen to you every single day coming home. And I just want to thank you for speaking up for the middle class. I can't believe people are blind to these crooks. And I think, my friend, you need a bigger stage, son.
Oh, I appreciate that. That might be the nicest thing I've heard all month. Thank you very much, Kevin. I appreciate you, babe.
Keep fighting for us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what I am fighting for. The millionaires and billionaires that do it honestly, they're not my enemy. The crooks, they're my enemy. Whether it's Jennifer Granholm, Joe Biden, or congressmen. Congressmen who do not understand the principles of our nation. Because if you think I'm only going to pick on the dimwits in blue, you're wrong. I'm going to pick on the fascists in red. Even when they are, what are they, Tea Party guys or are they conservatives? One thing's for sure, they don't understand the principles of our nation.
And the fact is, I think we ought to go back and learn the lessons of the 1930s. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was faced with a Nazi effort inside the United States. They locked people up. If I believe, frankly, we should say, if you are for the victory of Iran, if you want to scream death to America, we're deporting you. If you're an American, we're going to try you for treason. You can't get up and say death to America as an American citizen.
I can't? Can I say the president stole the election? Is that too far? How far you pushed the line? Because Newt Gingrich says it. See, this is the problem I have with whores, frauds. How much is Newt Gingrich worth? What was his job? Speaker of the House. What was his big pay salary? $175,000. Oh, he sold books? Okay. It's worth tens of millions of dollars, Newt. Lobbyist. And he was supposedly a conservative and a Tea Party guy. This is the problem. This is why when they get in positions, they start to backstab you. And when you catch him or when you want him to leave, they laugh at you like this.
I am not resigning, and it is, in my view, an absurd notion that someone would bring a vacate motion when we are simply here trying to do our jobs.
You have stroked the blank check that has made Jennifer Granholm rich three times, and now you're doing it again. And you're going to fund more of the Azov Nazis that have been bribing Joe Biden since he was a vice president, probably senator. Also, bribing George Soros and the same NGOs that Mayorkas said on the board of that are responsible. So this is the idea where you think you're on the red team. You don't have a team. I don't have a team. We have a principle in a country, and you shouldn't let anybody on any team tell you to give it up and compromise it. There are whores to the left and whores to the right. Stuck in the middle with you. Jim and Lyle.
Sean, each passing day, I'm more confident. I know we could disagree about this, that Trump is going to win. The new poll that came out today is the Senate candidate in Maryland, the GOP, up to 10 points. Dead as it may. I have a dichotomy that I'm kind of working through and I'm really kind of disturbed about.
All right.
That is, I'm getting pulled over by an ambulance, but...
you can't get pulled over by an ambulance. You voluntarily pull over if you're a decent person. Democrats cut the ambulance off. Go ahead.
I'm trying to talk and do that at the same time. Anyway, I don't think that once he does win, I don't think it's going to be all peaches and cream. And I think they will go to the mat, try to make sure.
Jim, why do you think I disagree with you? Listen to me. I don't disagree if it is honest. I also believe Donald Trump won in 2020. I do not, will not ever believe 14 million more people voted for the dimwit in diapers, who never campaigned because he couldn't, who never hit the trail, and you want me to believe 81 million Americans, record-setting. By the way, Donald Trump set a record of 74 million.
I, I'm with you on that, and I appreciate you stating that. But I really feel like they are going to pull out all the stops between November and when he gets sworn in.
Jim, he may get sentenced to prison. You understand that? You know, I had a legal expert on from Landmark Legal Foundation yesterday, Mike. And I asked Mike, well, how does it work when a ex-president who has the protection of the Secret Service gets sentenced to prison? How does it work? And he said, I don't even want to think about it. You see this Democrat whore judge, Cuban, communist sympathizing judge, whose daughter worked for the office tramp some call vice president for a year, worked for her. He gave money to the dimwit in diapers. This is the most obvious miscarriage of justice this country's ever seen. And it's going
to
happen.
Sean, the Secret Service is not going to allow him to go into custody.
Well, that might be the shot heard around the world. Because I don't know his Secret Service agents, but if I was a Secret Service agent, I'd know what the oath is. And if you grab my president, I'm going to kill you. But
absolutely.
I'm somebody who believes in the principles of what this country is supposed to be. What you have is the devolving into a third world. But, Jim, you're in Lyle. Take a look at Chicago. It's a third fracking world. They steal out in the open, and they all do it. And everybody knows it. The money for the immigrants. I got the clip, $70 million. The immigrants aren't going to see jack. They'll get dog food. They'll live in shanty slums. And the inside scum will get the paycheck. That's how it works, man.
John, before you let me go, have you seen Tony Schaefer's video about the truck that went from New York to Pennsylvania?
I did not,
in New Jersey, and the pallets of ballots that were pre-made out but not mailed?
So are you arguing my point or yours, brother?
No, I'm saying that what you just said a few minutes ago to start this conversation is not only true, it's now proven to be true.
It was always proven to be true, don't you? I mean, Jim, you're one of my favorite guys. You know that. They shut the countdown for 4 hours. Why? Because they needed to know how much they had to come up with. They came up with it in six key areas, all controlled by Democrats. Those same areas are still controlled by Democrats, and more are. That's why I get people, thank you for the call. I get people who call, oh, what do you think? Florida's going to secede? You can make states secede. You need to understand, you living in Democrat corrupted areas that have rolled over and voted for trust fund babies who are on FBI tapes for hours with a governor who already went to prison. J.B. Pritzker was on there for hours cutting up offices like it was dessert. What do you want to be, the senator? You want to be the treasurer? Just stroke me a check, fat boy. And now the idiots who are supposedly voters or citizens, they rubber stamp that fat ass to go back in there again. That's not a state where your vote for righteousness, principles, and law is being heard. You think he cares about the stores that are closing? He's going to open them up again, and they'll be government owned. That's the goal, to chase out private businesses. That's why they don't talk about it.
Thanks, call with investors. K2's Ali Rasmus is following this story kind of as it happens here, Ali.
Yeah, Gossett. In fact, that earnings call is still going on as we speak. They sent out a release about 2 hours ago, and then we just heard the CEO speaking about some of the changes to Macy's here in the last half hour when that earnings call started. We are waiting to find out which Macy's stores in the Bay Area may be on that closure list. We don't know that.
The closure list consists of 150 Macy's stores. Retail sales are up. Well, they're not up at Macy's. They just closed 150 stores. How about Target?
Now to Target, closing down a number of stores in major cities over the growing problem of retail theft. Rebecca.
Well, they're not up at Target. What about Tesla?
Tesla shares are down again, as you see, down some 33% for the year. This following news.
And the economy's great. Just ask a Democrat. They've never had it better. They're achieving their goal of destroying the benefits of Americanism property rights. They're going to make it the Soviet Union that the Russian communists dreamt of. And they're going to do it while being American Democrats. 312-642-5600.
This is the Sean Thompson Show, where Democrats are always wrong, Republicans are seldom right, and politicians are never, ever to be trusted. On AM 560, The Answer. AM 560. The Answer.
Come on, Squirrel. It's a Friday song. What are you doing? You're getting me all excited for a weekend. It's only Tuesday. You know who doesn't know if it's Tuesday or July? The dimwit in diapers, some call president. He didn't win jack. 81 million votes. Get the hell out of here. Brian, St. John, Indiana.
Let me sum it up for you, Mr. Sean. The reason we can probably prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Joe Biden did not win the presidency in 2020 is because of his joint session speech in 2021. He had 27 million viewers out of 81 million votes. Bill Clinton had 67 million. George Bush had 40 million. Barack Obama had 52 million. Donald Trump had 48 million.
It's a very interesting point. Well, here's another number that does it. Here, the numbers given to you by a liar lie. And we do not have a system in this country where the public, where the individual can check and verify the total of the election. So, in other words, we're in a position where we're turning to the only people in our society we know lie to us, the politicians, and they're telling us the outcome. It's like Saddam Hussein. How'd you do? I won. That's all you need to know. And that's to me. Go ahead.
You're going to tell me that in November, world record people showed up for him, and then 5 months later in April, one-third of them showed up and two-thirds didn't.
I'm not going to tell you that. I'm going to tell you they shut down the count for 4 hours because they stole the election in very strategic spots. You only needed six. Brilliant in its diabolical nature to change forever the trajectory of our nation and destroy the principles of it. Eduardo, Tampa Bay.
Yeah, Sean. I think Tom Conchard asked Jennifer Granholm, did you take any of the money from George Soros, who's putting in $60 million into the DNC? Yeah, into the DNC PAC. I just saw that on Daily Mail.
I got it all. The clips go on. They prove beyond the shadow of a doubt she's exactly what I accuse her of, a policy whore who is worth millions. But it pales in comparison to the legacy of both Republicans and Democrats that have done the exact same fracking thing. It is a legalized version of corruption. And the lawmakers who write the law carved out an entire industry for themselves called political front-running policy insiders. That's all they are. And that's why when they get to Washington, they shut their fracking mouth. There's a lot of money in corruption, Eduardo. I appreciate the call. Greg, Rogers Park.
Hi, Sean. Sean, I'm just curious. I used to work at CBOE, so I know about stocks. But I was wondering, do you think that Donald Trump's stock was sabotaged by his enemies? Because it started out like 48, it went up to 79. Now it's being trashed. You're just trying to embarrass him?
No, IPOs are very difficult, especially when you're talking about companies that never turn a profit. Am I the only one that remembers the bubble in 2000? Those were very similar companies. You know, you could argue Amazon did not turn a profit for 21 years, yet the stock was valued on what the potential could be, and it turned out to be okay. When you're entering stocks that have a business plan that loses money but gains reputation and attention, it's a tough industry, which is why internet stocks in general are very difficult to play on the winning side. So it's a very interesting stock, right? I felt the same way about Asshat, formerly known as Facebook. And if you look, it opened up at 42, went down to 19. Now look at it, because they developed it into different things. So if Trump's internet social media all of a sudden has a new way to pay, use your phone to transfer cyber currencies or some kind of PayPal, then it could really turn around. George in Naperville.
Yeah, Sean, aid for immigrants flooding into this country. I'm sure a lot of your listeners are concerned. Will there be funds put aside for those dreamers that want to attend some of our finest colleges?
Didn't you hear them yesterday? Colleges will be free. Community colleges will be free. And listen, we don't need aid. We provide aid, because we've bastardized the very principles that we are the world currency for, the Bretton Woods Agreement. We print up debt that none of us agree to in a bipartisan fashion. That's why you'll always get a Speaker of the House that's a government supremacist, whether it's Newt Gingrich or Mike Johnson. They're never going to let a free-thinking American have a position of power. They tried it once with Donald Trump. It didn't work out so good for them, and they're going to make sure it never happens again. When I get back, we've got a great interview for you. If you're on the line, I've got a couple of interviews. You may want to call back, but that'll be after this.
This is the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer.
I love America. I love the Constitution. I love the First Amendment. I want to carry and own us. I love property. And let me tell you something. If you care about your country, I'll read... Ludwig von Mises and the six lessons of the Austrian economic school, motherfucker.
From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show.
This looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me, because we need a little controversy.
I have had the pleasure of having my next guest on a handful of times. And he reminds me of what an interesting time in American history this is right now. I mean, everybody gets bogged down with the fact we stand on the precipice of actually losing the principles of the country. But the other side of the coin is we also can fight for it. My next guest fights for it in very unusual ways, both directly and indirectly. He's an attorney, science teacher, New York Times bestselling author. His books have sold more than 250,000 copies, been translated in several languages. He has really earned the reputation of one of the most fearless corruption fighters of our time. His new book is called The King of Italy. It's out today. He is Kent Hyven, Hecken Lively. I always butcher your name. I'm sorry.
Quite all right. How you doing, Sean?
Very good. I'm excited about this new book. I really am, and I'll tell you why. I'm half Italian and half Norwegian, but I was raised in the household 95% of the time by my Italian grandmother and grandfather and my mother, and we all lived there. It was a it was a big Italian household. And it had a lot of the reasons and the patriotism that they had was because of what had happened to their Italy. And it had devolved into a socialist hellhole, really run by Mussolini. And from what I understand, you've taken this on in a very creative way, haven't you?
Yeah, so what a lot of people don't realize is that they usually tell the story of World War II through a German perspective or a Japanese perspective, but it's been rare that somebody's attempted an Italian perspective. And the reason why I say that's important is that Mussolini took over in 1922 and ruled till 1945. A lot of people don't understand that, and Mussolini was really the model for Hitler and a lot of the dictators that came after him. And so I use that as a vehicle to compare Italy and the United States, what happens in war, what happens in peace, and also what happens with empires, because Mussolini was trying to resurrect the Roman Empire, and at the end of World War II is really the beginning of the American Empire. So you've got a lot of stuff going on, a lot of moving parts, but the initial reactions from people have just been so overwhelmingly positive. Just got my first review that the first reader said, it's a masterpiece that bridges history and storytelling in a way that will give this book life and a relevancy for generations. So I really think that I've knocked it out of the park with this book.
And the answers to me to save the future are really in the past. I like to refer to what we're experiencing on a world stage as the Fourth Reich. I like to refer to the dimwit in diapers, some call president, as the feeble fascist. And what you kind of tap here is the nuanced differences of the phony patriotism and fascism that Mussolini was able to turn his entire country into a mafia-run society. And that's how I feel America is going. Because fascism is a little different. They kind of backdoor nationalize businesses. And there's that veiled illusion of property ownership, but it really isn't there. It's a feudalism brought to you with government corruption, isn't it?
Yeah, and so one of the first things that Mussolini did was he outlawed the opposition parties in 1922.
Right.
And one of the things that really kind of is a reason that I wanted to tell this story is because what happened with the Italians in World War II is that they switched sides early on. The people threw them out. What happened to Mussolini at the end? He was hung up by his heels by the Italian people. And see, that's the story that doesn't get told. The fanatical German story of the German defenders always gets told, but the story of the Italians who rose against fascism does not get told, and I think that's just as important a story.
And it's interesting because he was rather interesting, right? He started out as a teacher, a substitute teacher, then a teacher,
Then he had a radio show, didn't he?
He was a journalist.
Yeah,
very much. So he learned how to manipulate people. But then once he got power, he didn't want to compete for power, which is why he did away with the opposition parties.
So what are the similarities? I'm curious as to your opinion. There is what I believe in this country, an illusion of a republic, but not really a republic. And the reason is they're not so obvious as the fascists, the communists, or the National Socialist Party. They've learned from the failed examples of the past. However, they're implementing in a bipartisan fashion the feudalism that all of those ideologies deliver. That's my interpretation. How do you see the similarities between everything that led up to the Third Reich and the agreements of the countries that participated in that, and to now in America? Do you see similarities, or am I way off?
You know, here's the way that I look at it is, and I really go back to classical views of good and evil. Evil never forces people to do things. What they do is they lie to people, and they let people make the choice to be evil. That is very true with what happened with fascism and Mussolini, because Mussolini was marching on Rome and the government chickened out. And that's the start of my story, because I come up with a story that there are some people who are going to fight Mussolini in 1922 and they're defeated. But it's part of the historical record that the King of Italy actually had on his desk an order to attack Mussolini, and he didn't sign it. And we know now in retrospect that if he had signed that order, that Mussolini wasn't even in Italy. He was over the border in Austria. So the man was a coward. And so I write this book to say we need to have the courage of our convictions. If history teaches us anything, it's that being a coward never leads evil people to treat you well.
That's interesting. And I've never seen more cowards posing as conservatives or Republicans as they refuse to argue or debate or use the powers the people give them in the House, particularly now. It's interesting, when you revisit Mussolini, he was supported by a tremendous amount of people. And I was wondering, did he gain his support in the way that Adolf Hitler gained his support by promising to deliver a utopia? Or did he get his support the way the Bolsheviks got their support in the former Soviet Union, by promising to deliver a utopia? And what exactly are the nuances between fascism, the National Socialist Party, or communism? Because to me, it all seems like they're from the same acorn, as they're different branches of the same tree, aren't they?
I would say they are. And one of the things that they did was they did take care of the mafia in Sicily that was suppressed. And they did a lot of things which a functioning government should do. But remember, they never opened themselves up to debate. And so it was left to people, actually like the Italian monarchy, who actually kept Mussolini from doing a lot of things. And I tell that story as well about how the monarchy, you know, was key in switching sides. And the idea that if we're going to be a republic, if we're going to be a democracy, the first thing we have to have is courage. And I keep thinking back to how our founding fathers said, faith is the basis of a constitutional republic. And I play with that theme throughout the book, because it's very much about how many Italians came here from a country that did not have economic freedom. They had economic freedom. But then the question is, what you do with that? Do you become a wolf, or are you a shepherd for your community? And so that's part of the battle that goes on in the book between two very powerful people, Vincenzo Nicosia and his nephew, Alex Falcone. Kind of the two sides of man, you know, because I really do think that we all have a little bit of Mussolini in us. And it's not just that the evil is out there, but it can be in our soul. And what happens when we are given the opportunity to make a choice that's going to matter? Do we give in to our darkness, or do we give in to, do we surrender to hope? And we may not, if we choose the right path, it may not be clear that it's going to work out for us, and we still have to choose the right path. Well,
freedom is scary, and it has within it failure. But it's funny, all of these ideologies that have destroyed the quality of life of entire nations, and that's really what we're up against. These are ideologies that deliver a hopeless feudalism to the people who are subjugated by it, and to the oligarchs in it, the people who are the politicians. They live a really wonderful life. And all I kept thinking about when, may he burn in hell 1,000 years, Hugo Chavez was alive. And he was walking down the streets in Caracas, and he was saying, this is the property of the people. This is the property of the people. I didn't know if it reminded me more of Mussolini or more of the Bolsheviks. But it's always that same phony security in a utopian vision that's only 5 years away. And are you worried? I never used to be worried about America. I really wasn't. Before 2007, there wasn't a worry I had in the world because I believed in the rule of law in this country. I thought that there were more Americans that loved the idea of freedom versus the security of servitude. How do you feel about it now?
I am terrified about it, which I think is why I write 2 to 3 books a year.
I know you do.
I don't want that to happen. But when I go to bed at night, I calm myself because I am a believer that there is some divine power out there. I call on that divine power. I surrender to that divine power. And I don't know my personal fate. But when I look at history, and I think the one thing that I just, as I was putting this book together many years ago, I was just stunned by the scene where Mussolini is hung in effigy and how the crowd just goes wild, desecrating his corpse. And I said to myself, this is what happens to evil. And the fact that that scene from World War II, where the Italian people are just furious at this dictator, I thought this should be the scene from World War II that we have burned into our brains, that good people, when they get the chance, they will rise up against evil. And I wanted that to be an image that people have of World War II as much as they might have of the Nazis.
One of my favorite, very, very rarely known statistics of World War II, and it's probably because I had four uncles that went, was that the largest ethnicity in America to serve in World War II for the Americans was the Italians, the American Italians.
Yeah.
And I love that statistic because they were enraged at what was happening in Europe. I had an uncle who, till the day he died, lived. He would work nights for the railroad, and I would eat lunch by my aunt's house. I used to have to say I lived there to go to a better school. And it's funny, he would be screaming. And he was a quiet man, quiet, handsome. And he'd be screaming in the bedroom, and I'd say, Auntie Florrie, what's going on? And she'd go, he's fighting the war. Because even though he went for all the right reasons, he was actually fighting his fellow countrymen. And this is something that war, it's just blanketed over by generations today. They don't understand the nuances. They don't understand the outrage. And it's really disheartening to see in this country how so many of my fellow Americans are adopting the willful slavery of the fascist, of the communist, of the Nazi. That's the part that I find disrupting. Do you ever think that maybe there is the real hope is that there's still so much information where Americans can review to, and that's what I'm hoping your book does, and revitalize the interest in World War II so that maybe we can avoid another civil war in this country? Because the reality is we're already in World War III. The question is, what do Americans do in it?
Yeah, I think that it, and that's why I write these books in a way that I hope is respectful to the other side, because I feel that what happens is that we all get angry, and when we're angry, we may not present the best image to the other side. And so I'm always clear in what I say. I'm always respectful. And yeah. You know, I look at political leaders in history who I admire, who I think have been very successful, and I notice that there's a gentility to them, even yeah. when terrible things are going on.
Yeah, that's my gripe with you, Heckin' Lively. That's my gripe with you. You're too refined. You're an attorney. You're a science teacher. You're an author. You're too gentle. You're too kind. I think you need more of me in there, in the front line, because I would have been the guy in Italy stringing that fat son of a dog up by his heels. What do you think of that?
Well, there would have been the people behind it. But I think that what we need to do is we need to have a certain charisma and calm about us.
Yeah.
That it will draw people to you, even who may not agree with you. But they say to themselves, he seems rational. He seems kind. I always think of me doing a bit of a confusion to the other side, because uh-huh. I will do things like write books with Alex Jones, the yes. most canceled man in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't present as Alex Jones, but I am fearless and relentless in doing yeah. what I think is right. And so it will confuse them, because they think that I'm going to be an Alex Jones clone. I'm not. I'm not a James O'Keefe clone, even though I've written books for four of his whistleblowers. But I come across as just like the guy next door.
Yeah, you're the second wave. I get it.
And it's going. Personally, the funniest thing to me is I have no friggin' idea how I could write a book with Alex Jones, and I haven't gotten one bit of hate in the media. The only
oh, you
thing
will.
That I can no. Here's what I think. I think they've already war gamed what an attack on me would look like. And they've already said to themselves, this guy will eat our lunch if we go after him. So all I have to do is keep pushing. And when they are stupid enough and I've been provocative enough, they're going to come after me. And then I'm going to rip them to shreds with kindness.
Huh. I like it. It's a different approach. I'm going to need you one day. That's why I keep your number in my phone, because I'm more of the Italian guy that said, and get his girlfriend too. I love that part of the story.
They got Clara Petacci, his mistress. They strung her up too.
With a fish hook through the heel. I'll tell you what, that's a certain kind of an Italian little je ne sais quoi I really enjoy. In the meantime, Kent Hyvenlickley, say it for me, Heckin' Lively. I can only say it when I'm mad at you.
Full of Heckin' twice as lively.
I like it, Heckin' Lively. In the meantime, I do appreciate you. Hopefully I'll never have to call you as my attorney, but I take great solace in the fact that I can keep kicking out the books, because you are changing the trajectory. Keep taking them on. And next time I have you on, we're going to talk a little bit about Newt Gingrich saying Americans can't say that. I didn't like that, and I don't like the new speaker, but maybe you can put some lipstick on those pigs. You let me know.
Oh no, get rid of the speaker. I'm sick of him.
Love it. Love it. Can't wait for the next one.
Okay. Talk to you later.
And by the way, thank you for this. I know you gave me one, but I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to buy one and give it away to a listener. What do you say about that?
Sounds great. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Kent. We'll be back with your calls and comments.
He will never negotiate his constitutional rights with the government. Live free or die on the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer. AM 560. The Answer.
Price is wrong, Bob. In the meantime, who I'm going to have on now is one of the few people who gave me bad news, and I still love him. Randy Donnelly at Donnelly Auctions. Are you sure Chief Lowballs isn't worth like $7 million?
You never know.
Come on, Eddie, Sean.
How are you doing, buddy?
Wonderful. You know, I think of you often, and I love the fact that you support the show and you provide a really an incredibly valuable outlet for people who are drowning in Bidenomics and feudalism, because there is an upside to the collapse of our dollar and the buying power and inflation. Items they have laying around might be worth a lot of money and help bail them out of the cost of allowing a bad political policy. I love that. But I love the fact that you constantly come up with new ideas. In fact, you've got one right now, don't you?
Well, you know, Sean, our auctions are doing extremely well for people, you know, and the service that you do, letting people know, you know, about us and what's going on. I was just in Wakanda this weekend, and a lady is consigning a bunch of cars with us. Her name is Diane. I say hi to her right now because she listens to you religiously every day. She said, "I wait until 4 o'clock. It just makes my day." And Sean, what you do for everybody is just incredible.
Wow.
And
well, I appreciate
we're glad to be part of it.
Yeah, because we're really in a way we're partners in the fight against the kind of nonsense that destroys the quality of life. And you know, I was thinking about, I go back and forth on closing the store, and you even provide something that allows people who have stores that are closing, you give them a way to sell fixtures that they might have just left behind or thrown in a dumpster. And that's why it's really important, because these old stores, like my grandfather's shop, he had a unique business where he sold auto parts, but he kept a lot of old auto parts. And at the time that he passed away, and my uncle died shortly thereafter of cancer, we didn't know where to go. I had a generator for a Duesenberg. You know, it was all fell on the shoulders of his wife, my cousin. I was working two jobs. But it's funny, when people don't have an outlet, they sometimes give away valuable items. And that's what I love about what you do. You give people an outlet to take advantage of things that people who have passed away collected, and they might not know is worth value. That's the beauty.
Well, you know, that happens just so often, especially, unfortunately, for widows. You know, many times the prices that their husbands paid for stuff were hidden from them, and they really didn't know that that their husband maybe paid $1,000 for something. He might have said, "Hey, you got a better deal on it than that." And they don't know. So how do they, you know, get a fair, price for their things other than selling it at auction? And we provide that service for them. We're very proud of it. And proud of working
with you. Go ahead. You're hesitating to not embarrass me. I'm not embarrassed by my mistake. It was a mistake. I thought the license plate was worth 10 grand. You sold it for 30. Tell the story. Go ahead. Embarrass me.
Well, you know, I embarrass myself because I really didn't think the license plate could possibly be worth that kind of money. It's my brother who did the research on it. We have a complete research team here. We don't take anything for granted or by chance. We research everything. And he kept telling me, "Randy, this is a good license plate." And I said, "Mike, you're dreaming." And sure as heck, the research fared out. It sold for over $30,000. And because of that and your show, guess what? We've got another number one license plate, very early rare one from the city of St. Louis, and two more number ones from the teens from the state of Illinois coming up in our next license plate auction. Again, all because people listen to your show and they call us.
Oh, that means the world to me. Now, you have something opening up, and another thing you can embarrass me about. I was sending people to your, really, it's a museum where you can buy things, but the auction house, and you're not open all the time to the general public. So you have something coming up this weekend, don't you?
You bet. This weekend, I mean, starts Thursday already, all 4 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, this weekend. Anybody can come out. They can actually come out on Wednesday as a viewing day, too. But this whole week is just probably my best sale ever. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible, with antique automobiles and motorcycles, slot machines, jukeboxes. I mean, it's just packed full of great items. There's neon signs. There's beer signs. I mean, anything and everything that you could possibly want for a man cave or a she shed. And again, Sean, it's all the things that we've been asking people for on your show. They listen to your show and say all the time, you know, "I heard you on the Sean Thompson show. I need to sell my stuff. I had no idea how to get rid of all this." And they're, again, so happy when they call.
So two items I'm curious about, just out of my own self-interest. The Luger, did you sell it?
Oh, yeah. Gone.
Son of a gun. Eldorado Baritz convertible circa 1975 drop top, bad to the bone. Did you get rid of it?
Yep, all gone.
Son of a gun.
I auctioned. So, but here's a car for you. We've got a Capone style 1921 Cadillac, one of only two made. It's just an incredible big old sedan from the 19 roaring 20s, totally restored. It's going to be for sale here this weekend with all kinds of great cars. We've got a 69 Firebird. We've got old pickup trucks and even some old fire vehicles that were made into emergency vehicles for food service. We've got just all kinds of goodies in this auction.
My grandmother had a cousin who beat the hell out of El Capone's brother. I mean, beat the hell out of him. And then they told the whole family that he died coming back from a dance on Suicide Corner, which really didn't happen. He got killed by the Capone brothers. So, yeah, it's a very interesting story. But we have a question for the listener. Madam Alexander Dahl and Norman Rockwell, what is it called? Stug? Oh. Do you take Norman Rockwell? Are you interested in Norman Rockwell stuff? I can't imagine there's a big draw for Norman Rockwell anymore.
Unfortunately, the only Norman Rockwell items that really do well are the originals. I mean, original paintings. But the collector items, collector plates and series like that, unfortunately, the invention of the computer proved that none of the collectibles are rare. And unfortunately, items like Hummels, Norman Rockwell collectors, Franklin Mint and everything, for our purposes at auction, we just can't sell them. Just doesn't go. Antiques.
Mm-hmm. That's what I like. You give the bad news. You give the good news and the bad news. That's the kind of knowledge. Five decades of doing this. And it's funny because you did other stuff, too. And that's probably why your auction house is a museum. I love it. I absolutely love it.
It truly is. And like I say, this weekend, if anybody really wants to see a great, great auction, they can come out. 4 days of auctioning. Pinball machines galore. We must have 50 restored pinball machines. So again, just all kinds of good, fun stuff.
I used to have to run to the grill to get my uncle off the pinball machine back when you could bet on it. I still remember that. But that being said, he's gone. But I love the fact that the pinball machines are making a comeback. And, you know, I was also reading that California is selling record number of guns because of the fear of the cartels turning California into Mexico. How are gun sales in Illinois? Because you are a state and federal licensed arms dealer. I'm curious, are people worried that they will be used as excuses to have the Gestapo come in and take their items? Or are they acquiring more? What do you see happening?
Well, sadly, in Illinois, people feel exactly that way. Illinois is kind of a tough state on firearms, and people are very much afraid, of having their guns taken away from them here. But, you know, gun sales here, again, at auction, couldn't be better right now. So if you have a collection of guns, if you've inherited guns or anything and need to sell them, now is the time because, as you just said, people are buying, and we're selling all over the United States. We're online. And we're selling everywhere to states that are more gun-friendly. And people, yes, are buying, stocking up, and paying huge money. Now's the time. If you've got guns for sale, give us a call.
Did you get rid of the cannon? You still got the cannon? I want the cannon.
No, but we're always looking for more. I say this all the time. Municipalities that are getting rid of tanks and cannons and even jet aircraft or anything out of parks, we're the people to call.
You should see it down here, Randy. You should see it. They go in the store, they buy it. It's insanity. They're flying off the shelf. It's incredible. It's like pizza in Pritzker's neighborhood. You can't keep it warm. It's incredible. But listen, I appreciate, Randy, you and the support, but more importantly, that you give people an option to get a highest price for their items that they might not know is valuable. Randy Donnelly, give the phone number. 815. I don't want you to do it. Go ahead.
815-923-7000 or go to DonnellyAuctions.com, and we're online. You can take everything from there. Donnelly Auctions, spelled D-O-N-L-E-Y, Auctions with an S.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Me too. Thank you, Sean. Bye now.
Anytime. When I get back, it's going to be Kevin in Las Vegas, Eric in Marengo, Matt in Chesterton. Just to get started, well, I'll get to the rest of you after this.
Call Sean now. 312-642-5600. AM 560. The answer.
I got to admit, I was thinking about our caller, our listener, Kevin.
Cybertrucks line the side of the highway in southeast Austin amid new reports that Tesla is temporarily halting deliveries as a top Tesla exec announces his resignation on Twitter and the company announces mass layoffs.
Just out of the blue, they laid me off.
Until Monday, Bradley Olson worked on Model Ys at the Gigafactory.
At 2 a.m., which is middle of the day for me because I was night shift, overnight shift. Just look at my phone and my Microsoft Teams logged me out.
That's the cost of working for the new, one of the new targets of the American government. You know, it's a funny thing about Tesla Squirrel. Do you know they never advertised? That's kind of shocking, huh? No commercials, nothing. Kevin, Las Vegas.
Yeah, that guy covered something I wanted to talk about, too. People got an email at about 2 in the morning, you know, and some people didn't check their personal email and showed up for work, and, you know, they had to get the bad news and drive home. But, you know, well, I know your callers know that, you know, Bidenomics in the real world is wreaking havoc. And here, you know, we lost about 6 people, and you know, it might not seem like a lot, but when our shop is only 25 people and now it's down to 19, you know, it ends up, you know, being a pretty significant number.
What's amazing, people don't realize. You know, I have some grievances with some of the corporatism that was implemented in the beginning, the favoritism. But,
but
Elon Musk delivered something that most people don't understand. He is unlike the American so-called car companies, which are quasi-government entities now. He actually employs, 140 or 170, just 1,000 employees of Tesla, right?
Yes, and they laid off 10%.
So, total. But the point of it is, without Elon Musk, if Elon Musk never existed, didn't have Tesla, all you'd have is the taxpayer-subsidized Ford and American car companies that, by the way, they can't sell their products. Tesla sells more than them combined. And the reality is, he does it in a different fashion. He doesn't do it with upfront government money the way you now are seeing the collapse of American electric car companies. He did it because he saw a need, he filled a need, and he delivered a product. It's an interesting thing as you watch him now be the target of government. And the reality is, it's because he's their greatest competition, isn't it?
Yeah, and you think about when he started it. He was ahead of its time. I mean, realistically, there was nobody. I mean, they abandoned EVs 20 years prior to when he started. And all of a sudden, you know, it's like a kid that's got a toy and you pick up another toy. And all of a sudden they want that toy that you just picked up. You know, everyone, they jumped in and they're trying to push him out. And now the whole, when he bought Twitter, that was it. You know, they want him gone.
Absolutely. That's why, Kevin, you keep all that stock. If you're lucky enough to get some, you keep it. You know why?
Sure.
I think even after this comes out, I think Joe Biden may very well steal the next election, but the Democrat mafia will be in control. But I also think Elon Musk has a little quiet secret up his sleeve. I believe he's going to take Twitter and launch it as a pay app the way he did PayPal and revolutionize the way people pay for things as the credit card companies who are in bed with the government are raping my fellow Americans right now with the help of the Federal Reserve. That's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, he's 10 steps ahead at all times. I mean, he's already got, you know, the plans, and I'm trying to soak up as much Tesla stock as I can, for sure. I got faith in him, you know?
It's either that or maybe he should do what that L. Ron Hubbard did and claim he's a religion and sail on a boat for the rest of his life in the middle of the ocean. Thank you very much, Kevin in Las Vegas. Glad you survived, kid. Eric in Marengo.
Hey, Sean, just want to say right here in Marengo, I love going through the roundabout and seeing Donnelly Auctions flags, the Trump flags. You got Remke's got his flags up on the corner.
But another good guy.
I love it. I love going through there.
He looks like Captain Cavey. Like he just crawled out of that movie 10,000 BC. Did you ever see Remke?
Yeah, no, I've never met him.
Oh, he looks like Captain Caveman. And his wife is just the most lovely thing in the world. And he looks like he's going to tear your arms off and beat you to death. I love that son of a gun. Go ahead.
Well, I am looking for a good mechanic, you know. But anyway, Remke. I just want to say that the guy that called earlier talking about Trump's going to win, Trump's going to... No, they don't need the COVID and the mail-in ballots. They brought in the votes through the border, and then they bought off, what, 30 million people's student debt? So it's a wrap.
Who knew about this NGO? I love this new friend. NGO. The government, the taxpayers pay these rat bastards, and they pose as charities. They're advertising in Mexico. Don't forget to vote Biden, you thieving rat bastards. Thank you, Eric and Marengo. Matt Chesterton.
Hey, good evening. Hey, I appreciate this show and how we get to exercise our First Amendment rights against corrupt politicos, and you do a very good job of it, Sean. But I think the issue that Mr. Gingrich has with the zealots up in Dearborn is that they're using the system against us, as oftentimes, you know, we witness. If anything, what we sarcastically should be criticizing Newt Gingrich for is that he kept Bill Clinton in check, and he was, in effect, elected to 2 terms in office because Newt was there as a check, and he was probably the best.
The reason that I
we've had in the last 30 years.
Well, we have a low bar, right? But okay, fine.
Well,
that's the big win, and I'll give him that. But let me explain something. When you have an ex-Speaker of the House, somebody who is supposed to be on our team, talk about putting Americans in prison because they say they take advantage of that First Amendment that you first started with. That is the absence of a principle.
There's nuances is what I'm trying to say, and I don't know how we get around it. And as conservatives, we're being beaten up badly.
That's not the downside of freedom. That you're right.
We're not outsmarting the villains. And we've got to get better at it.
As a group. But if the individuals lose the principles of the nation, which is the individual freedoms and the right to your opinion, you're not winning. You just think you are. That's what Newt Gingrich was. Because after all, he didn't really win. I mean, he reformed welfare, but what else happened during the Clinton years? Here we are. I mean, the reality is it really a win if it's temporary? Temporary relief from a permanent problem? That's not a win. That's pretending that you're losing at a pace you can tolerate. That's what Newt Gingrich is and the establishment Republicans. That's why you really want to win. Break the duopoly of corruption, but do it with a principle. That's what we're going to do when I get back.
From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show.
This looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me.
You know, I've already been delivering real results in a fiscally responsible way.
Only a freaking Democrat could do that. All right, we're going to go to the lines. Where our next guest will reschedule. John in Oak Park.
How's it going?
Good, John. How are you?
Good, good. Yeah, Joe Remke, he was an animal. He was our high school football coach. And I was 110 pounds soaking wet. And I mean, every day I show up at practice, he maybe made piss down my leg. I'm not sure, but... Yeah, he was great. Everything that you see, yeah, we need more of them. More of those.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Up our youth.
Yeah, are you kidding me? You know, a guy that ugly, he's not afraid to get punched in the face, and he loves to punch you back. So I appreciate it, John, in Oak Park. Thank you. How'd you end up in Oak Park?
Don't ask.
Oh, there's a woman involved. Love! It's love, isn't it? Son of a gun. The curse of a heterosexual in Oak Park. Now you live in a she shed. John in Oak Park, stay strong, my man. You're going to need it. Rich in Indian Head Park.
Hey, Sean, how are you tonight?
Very good. How are you?
Good. Sean, this Judge Merchant, if his daughter or son was graduating high school, don't you think he would postpone this trial for a day?
Well, I don't think I don't know how much. Listen, do I think he's capable of preventing it? But I'm going to tell you what. Go ahead. Because what they're doing, Rich, is so obvious to so many Americans. What they're doing is what Mussolini did. They will be hoisted by their own petard sooner or later. Now, if you're asking me, do I think it's going to be terrible as they try to imprison and probably successfully do? Yeah, it's going to be terrible. But there is a silver lining in what we're witnessing. Not everybody wants to be a Chicagoan. Decent people understand the corruption of these Democrats. And what they're doing now is flexing how corrupt they really are. That's what's on trial in New York.
Yeah, but I know all of that, but just Bragg's now, he wants him hold him in contempt of court because he violated the gag order. It seems like they just want to put him in jail for anything, and then at the same time, they just want to humiliate this guy.
They're humiliating themselves like most Democrats. You know, they have no policies that ever win. They're openly and notoriously corrupt right in front of you. So they are a lap behind. They just think they're winning. And decent people recognize this, which is why more and more businesses are fleeing New York like Chicago. Decent people leave. And that's the result you're in. It's very similar to Europe before World War II. It truly is. If everybody could spot what's going on in New York City, like they can spot what's going on in Chicago, in New York, in New Jersey. Pick a Democrat sewer. They do not have one policy that works. And every once in a while, you're reminded of that. How many billions do we give to the quasi-nonsense UPS? And the reason is, they got millions of people who are rich. You may not call it rich, but when you get the kind of money in the retirement package the government gives, you're a loyalist.
Georgia lawmakers are giving the U.S. Postal Service just under a month to answer their questions about mail delays. This is in light of issues ongoing at the Palmetto Regional Processing and Distribution Center. Representative Lucy McBath joining with Senator Raphael Warnock and a group of...
It's not really a business, Raphael Warnock, the Democrats. It's a Democrat wing. It's a bureaucracy that will deliver the votes and is essential in stealing the next election.
Georgia representatives sent a letter to the Postmaster General setting a May 10th deadline for information about the implementation of the agency's Delivering for America plan. The project is a 10-year plan designed to make the Postal Service profitable.
It's never going to be profitable. It's an inside fraud government bureaucracy that doesn't need to exist, especially in the year 2024. And it doesn't exist because it is profitable or does something good. In fact, like every other government agency, they don't do anything good, but they all have cushy gigs.
Includes consolidating key operations.
Oh, and I'm not talking about the mail carriers. Those are just the useful slaves to the system. You think the postmaster general goes to work? He's like a UAW Teamster boss. They don't work.
Into a smaller number of large facilities, just like the Palmetto Center. Well, tomorrow, Postmaster General Louis DeJoy will be in a congressional hot seat. He is scheduled to appear at a Senate committee hearing in Washington, D.C.
Now, who gets the contract to build the new facility? Do you think it's a business that operates like yours? Me either. It's all an inside fracking scam. And people are getting sick and tired of it. Joey T. Palatine.
Sean, I want to, as always, thank you for your energy, man. You're the only sanity in this world. And you don't know it yet, but I elected myself Sergeant-at-Arms. And if anybody wants to get to you, they got to get through this white door.
Don't worry about it. Are you kidding me? I'm not this pretty growing up in Melrose Park named Sean because I can't take care of myself. But thank you.
I know. But here's my question to you. What do you think of Getz in your state? What's your opinion of him?
In all full disclosure, I briefly had a conversation with him and I was able to meet him. I absolutely love the kid's character. And he is a kid. He's a young man. And that's the real optimism that you have for what we're facing as a nation, is that there are people like him who understand right from wrong. And he's unwavering. He doesn't need the money of political corruption. He comes from a wealthy family, but more importantly, he made his own money and he stands in the wind and takes all the heat because he wants to remove this idiot, Mike Johnson. He wants the countries to have a reestablished mission of individual freedom. He's not really a Republican in the same way Josh Hawley is not really a Republican. And there's optimism there, and I love it. And they tried to take him down. All lies.
All lies. Kevin McCarthy, the establishment Republicans, right. They said he was sleeping with a 17-year-old girl. You know he's married. And his wife is stunning. Stunning woman. He's not like Bob Menendez married.
I appreciate
married.
That.
Yeah. He's
no, I value your opinion, and I didn't know where to go with this, you know, but I kind of liked him, too. So thank you very much.
No, he's going to be great. And I'm going to tell you something, too. Thank you, Joey T. You keep an eye on a young girl named Riley Gaines. I'm serious. You keep an eye on that kid. That kid is going to end up, Squirrel, I'll bet you. You know how I like to bet. She'll be the first elected female president that this country has. Because we have a deep bench. And these are people who put up the fight against right and wrong. And you have to understand, we're taking on an establishment that wants to protect itself, like Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson isn't interested in standing on the principles of the Republic. Mike Johnson is interested in becoming Nancy Pelosi, only this time on the for the good guys.
We just had a policy conference with all the House Republicans. We laid out the plan on how to finally address the supplemental situation. There are precipitating events around the globe that we're all watching very carefully, and we know that the world is watching us to see how we react. We have terrorists and tyrants and terrible leaders around the world like Putin.
Lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my.
And Xi and in Iran. And they're watching to see if America will.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Did he say Xi? Well, why is Xi such a tyrant? After all, isn't Mitch McConnell married to a communist heiress to a shipping fortune? How many Republicans like Kevin McCarthy are recipients of Chinese communist money in the same way the Democrats are, only smaller money? Now all of a sudden he's an enemy? Weren't you selling me how he's not that bad after all? Now he's bad. They'll say anything because they're part of government supremacy as well. They're just better dressed than the Democrats.
Stand up for its allies and in our own interest around the globe, and we will. I do believe it'll get through rules. I wanted to present the details to my conference first. I will talk with Hakeem Jeffries, my Democrat counterpart in the House, and I suspect that they will respect this process as well, that if we put it on a rule and we let all members vote their conscience, it's equally fair to everybody in the House.
Three continuing resolutions without standing on one principle, in particular the border. He did nothing but this. Come out and tell me how great you are, how you're fighting for me. And then you realize you do not get in the speaker's position without being a government supremacist.
And it's time that we were prepared to defend the survival of the United States. And I think that it's time we confronted head on a president who clearly on every single front, from Ukraine where he favors Russia to what's...
What? Ukraine where he favors Russia? That's not the truth. He's still going to fight for more money to Ukraine in the same way Mike Johnson is, because they don't want the system of political kickbacks and schemes on the people's money to end. He's not fighting on a principle. And he tells you as much as he says we're supposed to give up ours. You see, here's the dirty little secret. You don't have to agree with somebody's right to say something you hate, but you have to agree with the principle that allows them to say it. And anybody, and I mean anybody, telling you that people in this country who are American citizens should be put in prison because they say something you don't like, that's a backstabbing fraud. That's an establishment whore. But then again, that's somebody who probably is worth tens of millions of dollars. And you can't figure out why. Oh, he writes books. Okay. Mark, Western Burbs.
Hey, Sean. I love your pro-life stance, and I share it. I wanted to let everybody know that tomorrow is the Illinois March for Life in Springfield at noon. So if you can make it still, please come on down.
Can you even believe in the year 2024 with the technology we have, in particular after ultrasound, which ends all arguments that there are still people in this country that are not only willing to kill their own flesh and blood, but have the arrogance and the ignorance to demand that it's done on the tax dollars of people like me and you?
I was talking to a woman at an abortion center this weekend, and there was pictures of the, the graphic images of the aborted fetuses, the aborted babies. She said, oh, those are all doctored. That's not real. So the amount of deception is just rampant. It's not safe, rare, and legal. It's all abortion all the time. So...
And the rejection of humanity, I don't, if you notice, Mark, you listen to me. I don't stand behind a religious shield to do it. It is the insane ability of humanity to contort itself into do something that is the highest example of inhumanity, as they kill the only form of life, human life, that cannot defend itself, and they pretend it's somehow a right. Then explain to me why it's not my right to kill my 14-year-old. Can't.
Exactly. There is no logical argument for it, Sean. It descended into, a scream fest that, you just want women to die. And it's like, are you kidding me? 63 million have died. How can you even stand in any sort of logic? But
there's a futility in trying to establish any other further truth. I don't care if it's economic, if it's foreign policy. I don't care what it is. If you're dealing with somebody who has contorted their intellect in such a way that they are demanding the right to kill their child, I really don't care what you think of Keynesianism or taxation after that. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate the call. 312-642-5600. When I get back, Robert in Bloomingdale, you'll be first. Grab a line if you care to participate. The rest of the show will be me and you, and we're going to cover some of these outrageous topics that have happened today in our so-called government, which is Caligula for nerds, after this.
Broadcasting from the petri dish of corruption known as the state of Illinois,
in the upper Midwest, the nation, and around the world,
this is the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer. AM 560. The Answer.
Under my plan, nobody earning less than $400,000 will pay an additional penny. I hope you're all able to make $400,000. I never did.
Then explain your real estate. I mean, you have in excess of $12 million of real estate. If you never made more than $400,000, how do you own the real estate? Simple! Let alone the other luxuries of your miserable family. You know, this is the part that sickens me. They're getting rich by not working, but by fraud. Joe Biden is a fraud. We have evidence of $30 million going into his net worth. Where's the FBI? They're protecting the evidence, which means they're in on it. These are simple solutions to come to. So do me a favor. Don't use phrases that drive me nuts. And I'm saying that because I know what Robert of Bloomingdale is going to say. I love him, and he probably doesn't have pants on. It's after 5, but he's going to say a phrase that drives me nuts. Hi, Robert. Say it. Say it.
Hey, Sean. How you doing today? First of all, shout out to Joey T. I'll see him soon,
All right. And, go ahead, say it.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, say your phrase. It drives me nuts. Go ahead. What is Mike Johnson doing?
Okay, everybody's getting on Mike Johnson, the speaker. But kicking the can down the road has been done for a long time.
Bing, 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 bing. Listen, baby, there is no more fracking road. There hasn't been a road for decades. They have a system. By the way, they have a system. We have the guarantee of taxation to generations yet unborn for $35 trillion now. And that's just what they admit to. The real number is $270 trillion. There is no can. There is no road. There is an agreement of gangsters to make our currency worthless in the future unless they tax many, many generations. But not for everybody, Robert.
Day 3, and it is raining money or men for the banks on Wall Street. You've got Bank of America, Morgan Stanley. Morgan Stanley reassuring us that the trading side of their business topping estimates. Morgan Stanley Wealth Management.
Raining money with corrupt banks as Target, Macy's, 99 Cent, Walgreens, CVS, all closing hundreds of stores. So do me a favor. The Republicans aren't kicking the can down the road. They're enabling the economic destruction of our country. Mike Johnson is enabling and profiting from the destruction of our dollar. There's no can. Stop giving them the analogies where people start thinking of Norman Rockwell paintings. This is a terrible problem, and we need a Goldwater revival. This country is bankrupt because of politicians like Mike Johnson. Simple.
Hey, Sean, but here's the question I want to ask you. I know I've got to move on. Do you realize who, first of all, if this happens and if they remove him, you're going to have the radical left running all three branches of the government. Now that
I already do. Stop deluding yourself. They have done everything they wanted. Every policy funded. All of the NGOs. $20 billion for the Climate Corps. Rubber stamped by Mike Johnson. You're losing, pretending to be in the lead. Mike Johnson and his colleague Hakeem Jeffries are cutting up deals. He's telling you with his own fracking mouth. He's saying, my colleague Hakeem Jeffries. Hakeem Jeffries is a radical Marxist. He also goes to meetings with Joe Biden. I just came from a very good meeting with Joe Biden. Really? This is the guy you had a good meeting with, huh?
You know, thanks to the mayor, Paige I was going to talk about the old mayor.
Yeah, he's fine. You go into a meeting with this son of a dog, you come out, you say he just soiled his trousers. He's walking around with his underwear outside his pants. He doesn't know what the freck he's doing. Somebody impeach him. Did Mike Johnson do that? No, I just came from a very good meeting. We made a lot of progress. Get the hell out of here. Mike Johnson, a rat bastard. Ralph and Rantoul.
Hey, Sean. Hey, yeah. Don't get on Joe. Look, he said he never made more than $400,000. I believe him, and it's true. He stole all the rest.
That's right. Do you know that house that he goes to on the beach? Do you know what it's worth? $9
million.
He bought it for six.
I thought it was $12 million.
Yeah, he bought it for six. Where did Joe buy it? And he never sold the other one. That's worth eight. Where'd he get the money?
However,
in 1982, he bought a DuPont mansion when interest rates were 18%.
However, if you listen to the Trump judge, Joe Biden's house is only worth $237,012.
The communist from Cuba, whose daughter worked for the office tramp, or the other one who looks like a fish without a hook in his mouth. Which judge? I can't get my Marxist scumbag Democrat straight.
It would be the Mar-a-Lago judge.
Yeah, the one without the hook, the carp. Yeah,
I don't remember what they look like. They're all fungible.
Yeah, this guy, the Cuban judge, he thinks he's Emilio Estevez. Thank you very much, Ralph and Rantoul. It's very disheartening. Tony, Crown Point, Indiana.
Hey, Sean, love your show. Keep right speaking the truth, brother. Keep speaking the truth. But hey, they think we're a bunch of idiots because I call about the chemtrails today, and they call them contrails, like condensation. And I asked the lady, what is it? She's like, oh, it's from commercial airlines, and it's from the exhaust. I'm like, oh, yeah, really? I'm like, so commercial airlines fly straight up and fly straight down. She's like, oh, no, that's probably just the way you're perceiving it. That's just the way you're perceiving it.
Well, Tony, it's an interesting topic, right? And I've talked to pilots and the rest of it, and there's all kinds of interesting information. But the most important, as far as I can see, the nugget of information on this is when you listen to LBJ, as he was the president, talk about the Cold War and what him and the federal government was working on to have warfare with the Soviet Union then. It's very interesting. Do you know what clip I'm talking about?
Uh-uh.
All right. Well, I'm gonna do you a favor. Tomorrow, I'm gonna have the clip, and I think it'll answer a lot of things. I don't know if it's as nefarious as a lot of people want to say, but I did have the Honey Bunny. Who's the guy we had on from California about the weather? He started out as a global warming propagandist, and he turned when he learned some information about what was going on. I'll get it for you, Tony, tomorrow. Thank you though for the call. Very interesting. Len in Highland Park.
You know, at the Merck, you'd get a margin call.
Not me, but I knew what they were. Yeah, I didn't get them.
Yeah.
I made them.
But first of all, I want to belatedly congratulate you on 3 years. I think you put in more days in your 3 years than Prof has in his whole career.
Well, he's wicked smart.
The Johnny Carson of conservative radio. Remember when Joan Rivers was on more than him?
How about the hobbies? He fly fishes, he golf. That freaking guy does everything. How about your work? In the meantime, when he's not on, but go ahead.
But I wanted to ask you, what would you think if you're walking across the bridge to go to the Merck and there's a bunch of protesters there with towel heads on and masks. Do you think those people would be in the water in the Chicago River? I mean, it would have been cleaned up in 5 minutes. The police wouldn't even had to get there.
You know, it's amazing when you see the lack of people and the lack of outrage during it. I mean, isn't there anybody that was like a Melrose Park kid late to pick up a check? Because I don't care what you could lay down with any sign you want. You're going to be wearing a Riviera sign on your forehead back in the 90s.
You know something? I grew up in Highland Park, but my mom was from Bridgeport, so I have that goofy gene in me.
Oh, and it's a terrible combination. You're lucky you're not in prison.
Yeah.
You must have got to Highland Park for the same reason the guy who was Remke's student ended up in Oak Park. There's a woman at the root of that problem. Thank you, Len. Appreciate the call. 312-642-5600.
Stop touching me.
This is the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer. AM 560. The Answer.
They massacred my boy, Squirrel. In the meantime, you might as well laugh, because the other alternative is to cry.
Just the other day, a defeated-looking guy came up to me and asked if I could help. He was drowning in debt. I said, I'm sorry, Donald, but I can't help you.
Get the f*** out of here! Could have been Macy's that came up to you. Could have been Target, Walgreens, CVS. How about Jewel? When's the last time they opened a new store? Dominick's? Where are the grocery stores? Food for Less, Aldi? 1968, a restaurant idea was created. People grew up with it. 55 years, and now it's looking to file Chapter 11. It's called Red Lobster. That's just one of the numerous thousands upon thousands of private businesses that are closing under this dimwit, this coward, this fraud, this failure, this bust out, who has nearly $20 million in real estate, claims he never made more than $400,000 a year. Because the plan to have the controlled demolition of your dollar is working. And it's being put forward right under your very nose. And their political enemies, they're going to suffer the consequences as well.
Tesla shares are down again, as you see, down some 33% for the year. This following news, the company is going to be making some sizable job cuts.
Will they make more cuts than 99 Cent Store? A store that's been around for decades, bringing value to hundreds of millions of poor people.
About 1 million LA County households don't have enough to eat. That's according to data from the University of Southern California.
And now those same experts worry the closure of the 99-cent stores will make things even tougher.
I guess when Macy closes 150 stores, it's really not a big deal, right? Poor people don't shop that much at Macy's. What about the people that work there? And even the new stores that are sponsored by billionaires that thought they could get along with the organized syndicate called the Democrat Party.
Whole Foods has closed its flagship San Francisco store less than a year after it opened.
I wonder if Newsom's going to do what fat slob Pritzker is going to do. You're going to have State of Illinois stores? What does Ralph call it? Give me that? Yeah, that's the fascism that has destroyed all kinds of nations that thought that they were winning while losing. Walt, Northwest Indiana.
Sean, my question concerns the Dexter Reed case.
He's a businessman, transportation company, PPP loans. He was a scholar and an athlete. Also was released on a gun charge, a week before he got shot?
Was he in legal possession of a firearm?
Oh, yeah, he followed all the rules. He had a concealed carry license, a FOID card. Come on, Walt, what are you asking rhetorical questions for?
Well, I was looking for information about this in the print.
No, Walt, I'm teasing you. He was a degenerate Democrat lowlife scumbag, which is why the city of Chicago will write a check to his family. Who, by the way, he had three lawsuits going at the time of his murder, his killing, when he tried to kill other police officers. Oh, it's called a murder when you turn on the local news, right? It was a murder. He's a victim. He was the victim of predators. Yeah.
I don't understand why the media doesn't understand that the Chicago police have to deal with people who are willing to shoot a 9-year-old little girl in the head. Well, and that's when they're dealing with a thug like Dexter, their whole emphasis. I mean, he shot first, yet you would never guess that from the way the media's covered it.
The answer is to give them what they deserve, and I think that the police should pull out of these Democrat areas. Just pull out. Give them what they want. No police. You don't deserve it. Go ahead. Live the way you want to live, where the criminals and the predators have the protection of government. Because the cops are the good guys for the most part. And they're the ones who will always be painted and demonized by Democrat mafia members in the same way they were in Italy before it became Mussolini's fascism, or Germany before it became the Third Reich, or the former Soviet Union. Ironically, that's when the police had all the power and they misused it, because they were like the Democrat IRS under Barack Obama, or any bureaucracy in Washington, D.C. under the feeble fascist Joe Biden. Cream Puff Jim, what do you got to say? Red Scar, what are you talking about, kid?
Red Scare. I just see my Red Scare. Paul Hindenburg, the field marshal from Germany, was communicating with Lenin. He was stuck in Switzerland. And he said, tell you what, he goes, I'll give you a private train ride to back to Russia under guard and, you know, under secrecy, if you get the Russians to disband in their war. Yeah, this gave Germany a big push at the time, because it worked brilliantly for Germany, but I mean it wasn't the final blow, because they haven't lost the war. But
how you lost that second war, I'll never know. Is that how you start your work?
But you know, my point is that like the First World War was started by a kid who was going to assassinate the Archduke and had given up. We went to a sandwich shop to get a cup of coffee, and the Archduke took the wrong street and pulled up right at the kid, and he came out and shot him.
Yeah. Did you know what's funny about the First World War? Do you know how many Americans did not want America to send one soldier there? You remember that?
Oh, sure. It was huge. Wilson had to be prompted into it. He didn't want to send it. But a lot of people didn't want to go into the war.
Did you happen to see how the article in the Atlantic? Did you know that there's no recording of the alleged comment by Donald Trump that he called them losers? Did you know that? Did you know about this? This is very interesting. Thank you for the segue. In fact, this is the only time Joe Biden pretended to sound alive today during his campaign speech that we all paid for.
The one that offends me the most is when he refused his president to visit an American cemetery.
Doesn't he sound strong, Squirrel? Like a man, huh? He doesn't sound like he's dying right before our eyes. He sounds like Jimmy Carter looks, who, by the way, Jimmy Carter and Joe Biden, still alive.
The one that offends me the most is when he refused his president to visit an American cemetery outside of Paris when he was president. Why? He said that those soldiers who gave their lives were, quote, was his quote, suckers and losers. Suckers and losers, he said it.
No, the people who vote for you are suckers and losers. That's not what he said at all. In fact, that's a lie. But then again, every time this crypt keeper opens his denture-filled, demented head, it's a lie. And we'll play the clip when I get back. I went long. We'll be back after this.
Marxists, socialists, and communists are not welcome on the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560, The Answer. AM 560, The Answer.
Every time Joe Biden opens his mouth, and I mean every time, it's an absolute and total lie. The big claim that Donald Trump said he wasn't going to go visit the suckers and losers is the claim that you've heard numerous times.
When he was president, why? He said that those soldiers who gave their lives were, quote, was his quote, suckers and losers. Suckers and losers, he said it.
No, I say whoever believes you on anything is a sucker and a loser. Trump never said that. Never, ever, ever.
With the election now fewer than 60 days out, President Trump is again denying making insulting and outrageous comments about America's war debt, as reported in The Atlantic magazine. And also tonight, CNN is confirming.
As reported in The Atlantic magazine, and CNN confirms it, is how it's reported to the morons who listen to CNN or vote Democrat.
Making some controversial remarks in that article made by the president about American men and women who served in Vietnam. Now, Jeremy Diamond is at the White House. I'm going to go straight to him.
Now, is it Vietnam or is it World War I? This is a news reporter.
Jeremy, what are we now learning from our sources?
Yeah, well, our colleague Jim Acosta, Dana, is now confirming via a former senior administration official that the president did.
Former senior administration official. Where? In government or at the Atlantic? Jim Acosta, who lied for 3 years about everything with COVID to the vaccine, and that's just that, including Russian collusion.
Did indeed make disparaging comments about American soldiers who died in World War One.
So now it's World War One. Is there a tape? Anybody have a tape? Anybody have a transcript? Or do we just have the word of an unnamed Democrat scumbag like Joe Biden or Hunter Biden or any of the other Jim Acostas out there?
During this visit to France, when he was scheduled to visit the Ain Marne cemetery where Marines lost their lives in a critical World War One battle. This is confirming some reporting from The Atlantic that has caused quite a stir here. I want to read you a section of that Atlantic story that describes the president's comments on this. According to The Atlantic, it says, in a conversation with senior staff members on the morning of the scheduled visit, Trump said, "Why should I go to that cemetery? It's filled with losers." In a separate conversation on the same trip, Trump referred to the more than 1,800 Marines who lost their lives at Belleau Wood as suckers for getting killed. And as
nobody believes that, but nobody believes in trials where there are no plaintiffs either. Yet here we are. Unfortunately, people believe the lies the Democrat mafia has been telling, although proven with every policy, every collapse, every expenditure, that they're nothing more than fraud, but they're government supremacists. Larry, I'll get to you tomorrow. Sorry, kid. In the meantime, we never give them the benefit of the doubt. They're liars.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.